This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
And thanks for being here this afternoon. We're going to talk about a couple of organizations. Melanie Premer, Executive Director with Peace at Home Advocacy Center. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for inviting us, Kyle.
And why don't you introduce who you brought in today?
Yes, I have one of my peers here, Rachel, and Rachel is the coalition manager for a collaborative called the Creating Community Resilience Initiative right here in Douglas County.
And Rachel, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So I guess, first of all, since you're kind of new to this, why don't you tell us a little bit about Creating Community Resilience?
Yeah, so Creating Community Resilience is a collaboration of 11 core organizations here in Douglas County who have committed to engaging in the work that's rooted in trauma-informed care, ACEs training, which is adverse childhood experiences, and just building resilience in Douglas County. And these organizations reach broadly throughout Douglas County.
So how did you get involved in this type of work?
You know, I have just always had a heart for families and just building strong families. And so I've actually worked in some of these agencies in the past in Douglas County and had known about Creating Community Resilience and just was really excited to join and build the effort up.
So, Melanie, talk about Peace at Home and give people a quick overview and a reminder of what you guys do in the community.
Peace at Home provides services to all people experiencing family violence, sexual assault, stalking, and human trafficking through empowerment, support, and education. And we have many, many services within six service teams. And some of the services we provide that we're commonly known for is running our 24-hour hotline where people can call for support. And we also have an office that people can walk in and meet with an advocate to learn more about improving their safety and getting resources. We also provide legal advocacy. We have a sexual assault response team that supports our community of survivors and working with community partners. We also have shelter and housing services, and then our community-based services. We have advocates that are co-located at Umpqua Community College and DHS, just to name a few.
So how's 2022 going for your organization?
It's going great. I have the luxury of having my office at our new hotel that we purchased, which we've been on here many times and talked about. And I have to say, yesterday was a really great day. I walked outside to see all of these children playing in the sun and seeing women supporting each other and welcoming others into our community and empowering one another, letting people know that they're not alone.
I'm curious, and as I've been talking to a lot of different organizations, it's interesting, there's a lot of common themes that really go across a lot of different platforms right now. And I'm curious, for the work that you guys do, you know, back during sort of the deep part of the pandemic in 20 and 21, we talked about some of the impacts that affected your organization and people needing more help and what was going on. Is sort of the stress of the pandemic, is that lessening at all?
I don't know if I would say it's lessening. I think it's different for people in terms of examining our own mental health and how the last 2 to 3 years has impacted our mental health across the entire community. And I think that's showing up in the way that people are accessing services. I mean, people are very stressed still to this day and are needing additional support. So it just is looking a little bit different. And I think the exciting thing about the work that the two of us do together with the other collaborative members is in understanding trauma and everything from organizational trauma, historical trauma, and also these natural disasters and things that happen in the world and how that impacts our community. We were better equipped to support each other and support our community because we were already doing this work before the pandemic.
Interesting. Rachel, for you and what you're doing, how has this year gone?
This year's been going really good. We've been able to offer lots of trainings in Douglas County. So we do monthly lunch, learn, and connects for professionals or community members where they can come on for a Zoom call for about an hour and just learn about specific topics. And then last year, last December, we did the Winter Wonderland event and got to bring just a fun family event where there was an ice skating rink and yummy food and just supported families.
And that was like a new thing. In fact, I think I was out of town that weekend, and also it's probably not a good idea that I try to get out on an ice rink.
Yeah, it was actually an iceless ice rink. So it was a very cool experience for people. Something new for Douglas County.
How did that work?
I think they built it so that the material that it was acted like an ice rink, but it wasn't cold, which is a good benefit.
Wow. Another...
It looked like a giant disco out there.
Yeah.
Was it?
It was great.
What are we doing?
I have to say, the one thing that I loved about that event, that there were many organizations with booths providing education and resources. Mm-hmm. And you can, Feeding Umpqua had these bags and these recipes to make this yummy dish. And the bag was full of all of the items that you need to make this dish, including the spices. I thought it was really cool. So hopefully... people get to have an experience like that again.
Maybe we can just have people, if you have those bags like that, just bring them by.
Yeah, we could all use a bag like that.
I don't know. Maybe not. It's probably not up my diet. Any new staff or programs at Peace at Home you want to talk about?
Yeah, we have hired a new volunteer coordinator, and she's expanding our volunteer program, and that's been really exciting. So this week, actually, Rachel and I have worked together to begin hosting training for volunteers. So we train our volunteers to become certified advocates to provide services like legal advocacy, answering the 24-hour hotline, working in our shelter. We also have lots of other volunteer opportunities where folks can be engaged in our fundraising events. We even have groups volunteer. So this year we had Rotary Club volunteer and remodel a room to become a healing space on site. Yesterday, UCC students came out and cleaned up two of our properties. So there's lots of opportunities, and that's the program we're expanding right now.
And I think maybe a lot of people, when you know you hear the idea about volunteering with Peace at Home, they don't always think about the practical side. Mm-hmm. They think about counseling or things that maybe they don't feel like they're equipped to do.
Yeah, we have something for everybody. So if you love filing, we have filing. If you love playing games with children, we have children that need that additional love and fun in their life, all the way to if you like weeding like me or doing dishes, those things exist as well. There's just so much to choose from.
So Rachel, talk about all the different groups that you work with under this Creating Community Resilience banner.
Yeah, so there are 11 organizations that Korean Community Resilience works with. So Peace at Home is one of them with Melanie. Phoenix School of Roseburg, UCC, Family Development Center, ADAPT, Aviva, Cow Creek, CARES, the Juvenile Department, the ESD, and Roseburg Public Schools.
And so how does that all work in terms of getting all these people on the same page and working together on things?
Yeah, so we meet monthly, and they have designated staff members that support CCR, and we have committees that meet as well. Just we have an education one that focuses on schools and how to get the teachers trained in things to support families. So, yeah.
And many of our organizations have also adopted trauma-informed practices or become trauma-informed organizations so that when people are accessing services throughout the county, they're receiving these trauma-informed responses, which might be the organizations are transparent and we're meeting people where they're at and understanding their needs where they're at. And I think that that's where some of that collaboration has happened, is that we have this peer model where we learn from one another as well.
All right. Yeah. More when we come back. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com. 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1. Umpqua Valley Live coming up at 4. Hectic Week's going to be in studio playing music live this afternoon. We got some other things to talk about. We'll also meet the new theater director at Umpqua Community College. That is all going on, and we're working on Monday's program as well. And we got other things planned next week, some more candidates coming in, et cetera. Well, we're talking about Peace at Home Advocacy Center and creating community resilience with Melanie Premer and Rachel Gustafson. I actually said it right.
You did.
I hadn't even said it yet. That's one of those words that the way it's spelled, I feel like I'm going to fumble it, and now I probably will.
You deserve an award, Kyle.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't know. It's not that hard of a word. It's just certain words trip people up, and they're not usually the same words. Anyway, talk about the impact you think CCR is making with all these different people working together as opposed to just doing their own thing.
Yeah, so our vision is for all Douglas County residents, organizations, and institutions that are to be empowered, trauma-informed leaders, promoting safe children, strong families, and healthy neighborhoods. So our goal is to really just support the community, and by these agencies working together and having that shared language of trauma-informed care, that they can then support their participants and the people that come in their door. And so it's just creating a healthier Douglas County.
I would imagine, Melanie, that, you know, when you talk about some of the issues that you focused on and continue, you know, to focus on, that when people are maybe meeting with someone for something else, if you don't have that extra knowledge, you may not pick up on things or subtle things that lead you to believe, hey, they need more help than just coming talking to me about something different.
Yeah, exactly. I think some people think that there might be a behavior that looks like resistance from mm-hmm. somebody who's accessing services, and that may actually be based in someone's trauma. I think one of the other things that I've heard many people talk about in this work is someone may be experiencing trauma, and it actually, their behavior looks like maybe they are high, like mm-hmm. they're using substances. So understanding those things and maybe approaching someone and finding out what is going on for that person and not making assumptions that it's something else. So that education is important. I think one of the reasons as a leader I became involved in this initiative was to have a workforce, a healthy workforce, because those people need us to be the very best people we can be and have that knowledge and be able to apply that knowledge. And by doing that, workplaces also have to create environments where our employees are supported mm-hmm. and have the ability to create self-care for themselves and have that plan supported by their supervisor and the organization. And when we're the very best we can be, we can build a resilient community for all the people that are accessing our services.
I would imagine, too, there are times, maybe not a lot of them, but the times when people are in these situations and they just think maybe that's the norm, because they've been dealing with it for so long, they don't realize that this isn't right. Something's going on that shouldn't be. You should get some help. I mean, do you ever encounter people that really just figure this is the norm?
Oh, absolutely. And that's where Rachel and I talk a lot about generational trauma.
Yes.
And how these things are carried through generations within families. And it shows up. And how do we help someone self-reflect and understand and feel supported and not feel blame or shame?
Mm-hmm. And oftentimes you have someone who's a victim who then ends up later in life being on the other side, re-victimizing or victimizing others.
Yeah.
And focusing on people's strengths mm-hmm. and understanding that we all have gifts and talents that we can give and not necessarily always focusing on the crisis that's happened or all of the trauma that someone has experienced throughout an entire lifetime, also seeing them for the value that they bring and connecting them to their community in ways that really elevate them and their talents and skills can be seen and be treated with humanity and love.
So we've got about 3 or 4 minutes left. I want to make sure we don't not get to this, so let's get to it now. You're getting ready for your an event in the winter, back in February, up in February, and talk about the gala.
Yeah, are you dancing with us, Rachel?
Oh, man, I don't know if you would want that.
So if you don't know about the Peace at Home Dance and Vocals Competition, you're right, Kyle. It's coming up Saturday, February 11th, and we will be on a bigger stage this year for a bigger audience at Umpqua Community College.
It's one of my favorite events to go to.
So talk about how you're going to execute it this year, besides being in a bigger place.
Yeah. This year, we are looking at empowering others and celebrating our collective strength and confidence and resilience. And all of these performers exude that and show that. And last year, if you watch the show, you can see it every year, and adding the vocals, entertainment, and performances to the stage really highlighted all this resilience we have in Douglas County, in addition to all the talent we have here. Mm-hmm. And so our event this year is called Empower. And that is the idea, is that we want you to come support those whom we serve as a fundraiser and giving by buying a ticket or sponsoring a dancer or a vocalist, but also supporting those people who are brave and taking the stage and doing this for survivors.
So if somebody wants to maybe dance or sing, what do they do?
Ooh, yes, we would love that. And you can reach out to us through social media. And you can also find out more information at peaceathomedance.com.
Now, are you going to still have the virtual element to it?
We will not. We are all in person. We will have two shows. We'll have a matinee show and an evening show. And we will also be hosting a dinner, so people can choose to come to one or two of those events, or all three. Really, we're making this event accessible to more people this year through different ways in which you can attend at UCC.
So is the dinner out there as well?
It will be. It'll be at the Denny Lang Center.
So you can go over there, have dinner, and then go watch the show, or vice versa even.
Yeah, doesn't that sound great?
Wow. You know, people used to do that a long time ago.
Yeah.
It wasn't that long ago. You had to do this pivot for a few years, and it sounds like you're happy to be back more like normal.
Yes, we are definitely happy to be back, and we already have some performers practicing, and I know that they're really looking forward to bringing a great show.
Now, is there a specific purpose, or is it just overall fundraising, or is there a certain area that you're targeting in terms of the money you're going to raise?
Yeah, so it's really providing vital services, so all of the services that we offer, and having funding available that is flexible enough to support people's needs. So, for example, maybe somebody needs tires on their car because their spouse has slashed their tires. It could be something like that, in which we need flexible funding for, or it could be paying for hotel rooms when our shelter is at capacity, and supporting us in lots of other different ways so that we can provide those services that increase safety for families.
So, Rachel, as we run out of time here, how do people find out more about Creating Community Resilience? Do you have a website?
We do have a website. It's ccrdouglascounty.org.
And Melanie, the Peace at Home website?
Is peaceathome.com.
Melanie Premer, Rachel Gustafson, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Kyle.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.